Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard, based here in Los Angeles. Joining me on the other line in New York is Billboard's editorial director, Jason Lipschutz. Hello, Jason.
What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long day, but I'm ready to talk some pop with you.
Woohoo! As always, I'm ready to talk pop with you.
Aww.
Because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today, Keith, on the show, we'll talk about Eminem's blistering takedown of President Trump during the BET Hip Hop Awards, Ed Sheeran's broken arm and how it may affect his upcoming tour, as well as the American Music Awards nominees, which were announced last week, and who we think will be walking away with the top prizes.
Plus, we've got chart news.
Woo! Chart news! Yeah!
that was weird. Post Malone earns his first number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Rockstar featuring 21 Savage. Rapper NF nabs his first number one album on the Billboard 200 with Perception. And Pink is heading for a big debut on next week's Billboard 200 chart as she is aiming to score her second number one album. But wait, there's more. Daya came into the office here in LA and talked all about her new single, which is conveniently called New. She also talked about, you know, how she signed up with Interscope Records and working with Stargate and all sorts of fun stuff. So stick around for our chat with Daya later on in the show.
Love Daya. She's the best. But first, Keith, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/billboardpodcasts. That's plural. Keith, let's hit some of the biggest headlines on Billboard.com. So this headline, you know, what's funny is we have a couple things from last week, but people are still talking about them. Eminem delivered a furious freestyle against President Trump in a video that aired during last week's BET Hip Hop Awards and almost immediately went viral. In the clip, M accuses the president of racism, misogyny, and divisiveness, and name checks Colin Kaepernick, who tweeted out the video. That was pretty cool to see. If you haven't watched it yet, where have you been? How have you not seen it yet, if you haven't seen it? In other Eminem news, he has reportedly finished his new album,
which should come out like next month, according to rumors.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about it at the office. Nothing's confirmed, nothing's announced. It would certainly make sense, though. You have Sam Smith coming next month. You have Taylor Swift, but you have a couple of those prime holiday, like Black Friday, release dates, kind of wide open. You never know. Maybe Eminem is you know, finishing up and looking at those dates.
There's no way Eminem dropped into a nationally televised award show just to show up and not promote something. So, I mean, come on. There's clearly got to be an album that's waiting in the wings. And it's too bad this wasn't a proper single. It probably would have made a big chart debut this week. But unfortunately, it didn't chart. But Eminem is back. Guess who's back?
Back again.
What else is going on, Jason?
Ed Sheeran. Poor Ed Sheeran. He reportedly broke his right arm. He definitely had
I think we can say he definitely broke his arm because
well,
he Instagrammed
I don't know.
A picture
Is it
of
actually
himself.
Broken? That's the thing, is that he hurt his right arm. I don't know if he broke it, but it looks like he broke it after being involved in a bicycle accident on Monday morning. And while Ed will be okay, it's just an arm. It's okay. His Divide tour may not. Sheeran is scheduled to resume his Divide tour in Asia on October 22nd, but because of the biking snafu, he may have to postpone a few dates. Fortunately, he should be all healed when he returns to North America in 2018 for his stadium tour, which is actually his first headlining stadium tour. And, you know, Keith, it's interesting that, you know, obviously get well soon, Ed, but the fact that he's touring stadiums now is pretty
ridiculous.
Remarkable. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Beyonce's first stadium tour was just on this last Formation tour. She was playing arenas before that. You know, Taylor Swift, kind of the same thing with 1989. You have someone like Bruno Mars who's still playing arenas, although he's doing multiple nights at arenas. So the fact that Ed Sheeran already playing stadiums, pretty cool.
I wonder, I mean, who else plays stadiums with any sort of regularity? Like, well, I mean, as I just sort of like, you know, ask you a question that you have no preparation for.
You know, a lot of the kind of classic rock bands, I saw Coldplay at a stadium this summer.
True.
U2 obviously was playing stadiums. Bruce Springsteen. But yeah, in terms of pop, Taylor Swift, Beyonce now, One Direction did when they were together.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's a pretty rarefied area.
Yeah, I mean, but Ed Sheeran is an incredibly huge superstar at the moment.
Incredibly huge. So the nominees for the 2017 American Music Awards were announced last week, and the Artists of the Year nominees are Ed Sheeran, speaking of which, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, The Chainsmokers, and Bruno Mars. No female artist, sadly, though Julia Michaels is up for New Artist of the Year alongside Niall Horan, James Arthur, Post Malone, and Ray Sremmurd, who I don't think is a new artist, but you know what? I'm not going to quibble. The fan-voted awards will be handed out on November 19th. Now, again, fan-voted American Music Awards. Keith, Artist of the Year, again, I'll read them again. Ed Sheeran, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, The Chainsmokers, Bruno Mars. Who do you think takes the cake?
Just whoever has the biggest fan base that is most aggressive with their voting. Also, I want to point out how you noted no female artists, and Halsey called that out, as did a lot of people on the internets, saying, "Oh my God, what's this like dude party in the artist, you know, top new artist or top artist category?" Fine print is that these awards categories and the nominations are based upon chart performance on the Billboard charts. Ultimately, the winners are determined by a popular vote, but the nominees are determined by like performance on the Billboard charts. So despite the fact that there have been a number of female artists that have had number one albums in the past year, including, you know, Lady Gaga and lots of other people, Katy Perry, you know, so many women, they haven't had consistent, sustained success in, you know, the top of the Hot 100 and the top of the Billboard 200 and, you know, what have you. And we've noted this, like there was a time where the top 10 of the Hot 100 was just like short on any women.
Yeah.
Now lately we've had Taylor Swift and Cardi B, come back, but for a while, like unless you were like Rihanna featured on a track, like there was like no ladies in the top 10 basically. So yeah, it's weird, but I think it's also speaking to what music is in the past year, and it's been overwhelmingly dude-driven in terms of the most commercially successful, popular stuff. Now, to answer your question, who do I think will actually win this category?
Yep.
I would imagine like Ed Sheeran probably will, just because all the Sheerios will probably vote for him in force. That's just my guess.
I wouldn't underestimate Drake, man. I would not do that. We'll be watching it over here at Billboard, the American Music Awards, again on November 19th. That is
we'll
the,
probably be at the show.
Yeah, we'll be at the show. You'll definitely be at the show.
Probably. I don't know. Come on. You can come out for it, Jason.
Well, you know what? I'll be in LA the week before, so maybe.
We can hang out. We can do the podcast live together.
Oh boy. Keith, we got to
move on.
It's
time for
the
chart chat.
Let's do it.
Well, let's run the Billboard chart numbers and do the chart chat. Here are three of the biggest headlines on the charts. Number one, on the Hot 100, Post Malone's Rockstar featuring 21 Savage grants both of the rappers their first number ones. Number two, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, rapper NF nabs his first number one with Perception. And number three, Pink is heading for number one next week on the Billboard 200 with her new album, Beautiful Trauma. Let's break down each of these individually. First up, Post Malone hits number one on the Hot 100 with Rockstar featuring 21 Savage. The song, which rises 2-1, edges out Cardi B's Bodak Yellow by a small margin, pushing Bodak Yellow down to number two after a three-week run at number one. Whenever I say three-week, it comes out as like three-week, a three-week run at number one. This is Baba Walter. Rockstar is powered mostly by streams. It's the number one song on the streaming songs chart, but it's finally catching on at radio, finally, as it debuts at number 38 on the radio songs chart. Again, it's another example of how a song can be number one on the Hot 100, powered strongly by streams and good sales, but not a whole heck of a lot of mainstream radio airplay. The power of streams.
Yeah, and you know, and Keith, it is pretty surprising to me that this song has done so well, and it's honestly nothing against the song, but I remember when it debuted at number two, and it, you know, that's just, it's such a hard thing to do without like a really like an A-list star as part of a song. But you know,
the power of Post Malone.
Yeah, I mean, Post is having an unbelievable year. It's almost underrated.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Post Malone, this song "Rockstar" isn't actually on Post Malone's current album, which is called "Stony," and it's expected that this song will be on his next album, which I think has been in the works for like months and months now. So who knows when this album is going to come out? I would assume soonish, but who knows? In the meantime, Post Malone has just been, in general, so popular. In the past, well, pretty much like the past year, his album "Stony" has been in the top 25 of the Billboard 200 for the past 44 straight weeks, basically ever since it debuted back at number six, 44 weeks ago. This week, it finally hits the top five for the first time. Aww. It hits a new peak. It rises 6 to 4. So, other thing I wanted to say about Post Malone and Rockstar, this is interesting. Rockstar is the fourth number one song in a row on the Hot 100 that is not currently available on the respective artist's album.
Oh.
So Rockstar is not on an album yet. It follows Bodak Yellow, which is not on an album yet. Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do, which we know will be on her Reputation album, but that's not out yet. And then, of course, the 17-month reign of Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee's Despacito. I know it wasn't 17 months, but, you know, it seemed like it. Despacito still is not on an album yet. So basically, like, for the past 5 months, the most popular song in the country has not been available on an album, which is kind of crazy if you think
about
it.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. And obviously, you know, something like a Taylor Swift, it's the lead single for an album that's about to drop. But yeah, in terms of... Post Malone doesn't have an album date. Cardi B does not as well. Despacito, who knows what album, if any, that will appear on ever. But yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I still maintain it's a missed opportunity for Despacito. I feel like when Despacito was so huge for like its first few weeks, there was ample time for Luis Fonsi's label to put together a greatest hits album and tack Despacito onto it and say, you know what? For all you millions of people that are just getting to learn who Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee are, thanks to this huge hit single, here's Greatest Hits record to get you familiar with this entire catalog of many, many hits that maybe you haven't heard of yet because you only know him for Despacito. And that album would have charted incredibly high on the Billboard 200. And yet, they didn't, which is weird. But, you know, whatever.
What can you do?
Anyway, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, rapper NF... debuts at number one with Perception, his first chart-topping set. It's his third full-length studio album. It was released on October 6th, and it starts with 55,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending October 12th, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, 38,000 were in traditional album sales, which is the rapper's best sales week yet. Now, here's the interesting thing. 55,000 is actually the smallest... number for a number one debuting album in 2017. So clearly NF, who I think most people are probably not terribly familiar with, picked the right week to release his album because it was a very soft week. There was little competition, and he, with his dedicated fan base, was able to eke out a number one. Had this album come out pretty much in any other week this year, it would not have been number one. So this is the right time, right place sort of deal for someone. And it worked out for him. So congratulations to NF on his first number one album.
Pretty surprising and congrats. I mean, you know, obviously not like a household name, but, you know, I've talked to NF's team this week. They're extremely excited. So congrats. That's very cool.
Also something interesting to point out here. As I said, this was the smallest unit total for a number one debuting album. It's the fifth smallest unit total for a number one overall since the chart began ranking titles by consumption units back in late 2014. And NF is just the second act in 2017 to reach number one without ever having charted a song on the Hot 100 chart. The other act was Brand New with Science Fiction earlier this year, which, again, Brand New is an act that you're just like, who? Wait, they're at number one?
What?
Like,
who?
Huh?
What?
No disrespect to Brand New and NF, but I would imagine both NF and Brand New are probably just like, we're number one? That's, whoa, like, huh? Like, I'm sure they're probably, like, surprised and amazed, too, and they should be. And anyway, what am I saying here, Jason?
I think
I'm moving on.
I think you're moving on, man. Let's
Thanks.
Go.
I feel like I'm just stumbling over my own script.
We got to talk about Pink.
That's right. According to industry forecasters, Pink's new album, Beautiful Trauma, should easily debut at number one on next week's Billboard 200 chart, and it will score the biggest week of the year for a woman. Sources say the album should earn over 300,000
wow.
equivalent album units in the week ending, October 12th. Other albums, not 12th, I meant the 19th. I'm falling apart, Jason. Other albums aiming for high debuts on the chart include Beck's Colors and Gucci Mane's Mr. Davis. People may be wondering, how can Pink's album be so huge?
How?
Well,
how, Keith?
She does have one of those fancy ticket bundle things.
Ah.
But that's not all the sales. Like, okay. You know, she's actually still selling well at traditional retail and, you know, at Target and Walmart and iTunes. So, but she does have a ticket bundle, which is certainly helping things. But that's not, like, you know, the whole shebang. But it's a pretty impressive number, and it looks like it could be, like, the biggest number for a woman since, like, Beyonce's Lemonade, maybe? Like, it's just that big.
Wow.
So, lots of chart news this week. Anything you want to add to any of those things that I just rambled about?
No, man. I mean, Pink's career just continues to chug along, and you know, people keep waiting for her to fall off, and she simply does not. What about us?
No. She just floats through the air and glides and flies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I really like What About Us. I like the album. I don't love the album. I'm still kind of digging into it, and it took me a while to warm up to Truth About Love, her last album. I feel like Beautiful Trauma might do the same. So, but I do like What About Us.
Well, now it is time for our interview with Daya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daya, in fact, I think this was not actually in the interview, but we were talking about you, and she's like, wait, I've talked to Jason before. I'm like, yes, you have. And evidently it was when you had left Billboard
and
you were at some other publication.
It's true.
And you had interviewed her there at Fuse.
It's true.
The place that you were at before you came back to Billboard.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that I remember I just happened to be friends with someone who was working with her at the time, who's no longer working with her. It was like, check out this song Hideaway from this girl that I just started working with, and really liked this song. And I was actually, I think her, I might be wrong on this, but I think I was like her very first interview.
Whoa.
Yeah, so
that's pretty cool.
Actually, a couple months after that, Don't Let Me Down with the Chainsmokers started blowing up. Daya started taking off, and she actually came into the office with her mom, and her mom came up to me and was like, I just want to let you know, like, we'll never forget. I was like, don't thank me, thank Daya for making awesome pop music. So
yeah.
Shout out to Daya's mom.
Yeah, seriously. Well, in our interview, we talk about how she has a brand new single titled New. The track comes after a very busy 2 years for Daya, who has notched a trio of top 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 and won a Grammy Award. Not too shabby. In our chat, we discuss her new single and video, moving from a small indie label to Interscope Records, working with the production team Stargate on the new single, and much more. So, here's our chat with Daya. I'm missing you. What the hell did I do? Did I do? Welcome back to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast, Daya.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am super swell. Thank you for coming in. I know you're a little bit under the weather right now.
Yeah, I'm sucking on a cough drop and like just burnt my tongue on some Tot tea, but
clearly we gave you the tea to chew up. Please don't sue us. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Well, thank you for doing this. It's been a crazy like 2 years for you. In the past 2 years, you've had 3 top 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100. You've won a Grammy Award. Including your collaboration with the Chainsmokers, you have sold more than 4 million downloads and had 1.5 billion streams in the U.S. So you've done pretty cool, pretty well.
Yeah.
And all that before you even turned 19, because you're about to turn 19, right?
I am, yeah, the end of this month.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
What has been kind of like the biggest change for you in the past? Like, because I mean, really, you kind of got started obviously more than 2 years ago, because 2 years ago is when you started to break through, but
yeah,
you were building towards that,
yeah,
for a while. But in the past 2 years, has like something changed for you where you feel like your life is really totally different from 2 years ago?
Well, I feel like the past like 6 months or so have really like shaped this next like era of my career, and I think a lot of that has to do with the Grammy win, which was like kind of amazing, and then it was a lot, and it helped me, you know, like put new standards for my new music, and plus like signing with a major label, all these things have kind of come together in the past 6 months that have really like shaped this next part of my career, and I feel like the main part of that, or the main thing that came from that, is just that I have a lot more creative freedom, and I'm willing to, you know, use that to work with Interscope as more of a partnership than them like deciding things for me and
right,
them being a major label and just like,
Wear this.
Yeah, here, like, just right, treating me like a doll. So I think it's just, like, it's been a huge improvement in that area.
And you went from a little, like, indie, like, small operation on Art Beats to Interscope.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a really sort of small, self-contained operation.
Yeah.
With, like, you and your mom and, like, a few other people.
Yeah.
Basically just, like, working the indie promo circuit.
Yeah.
Which is super, I mean,
it's hard,
super hard and super unusual for anyone to have that kind of success,
yeah,
from like just a handful of people, which I think speaks to the quality and the success of the actual music itself, because it's hard for anyone to break through, and you broke through the noise,
yeah,
with Hideaway, obviously,
yeah, and yeah, all, yeah, yeah,
but it's just incredible what's happened, and also that Interscope believes in you.
Yeah, I think that's this is a really cool thing, because you know, I would never take those 2 years back of being an independent and going to shows every day and just wearing the same clothes for every show that week or whatever it was. Like, I think
it's very economical.
It's yeah, it was very it's very good. You know, I was saving a lot of money, but I think it was hard. It was getting to be the point where it's just like I needed to do something else. I need to grow a little bit as an artist. And I think that my music was there and all the fans were there and everyone was just, you know, everyone was excited about it, everything, but it's just kind of like taking that to the next level.
Right.
And so in that area, I feel like it was necessary for me to go to Interscope.
Well, in the new era of Daya, a new day has dawned. Oh,
there's so many puns. There's just so many. You just can't avoid them.
Terrible, terrible puns. Well, you just dropped your new single, New.
Yes.
Which came out, we're recording this like less than a week after the song came out.
Yeah.
The song and the video came out at the same time, I think, right?
Yeah, they did.
How are you feeling right now that people are listening to the new music?
I'm like overwhelmed with the amount of like positivity that's come from it. I mean, I just feel like everyone's just embracing this new sound and kind of a new me, but it's really just exciting because my old fans are right there with me, and
right,
and I know I was a little hesitant. I was like, oh, I don't know like if they'll like love this new stuff or if they'll like come along for the ride, but they're like more than willing to, and they've been the most supportive of me since the start. So I think it's just exciting to see like them come along with me, plus all these new fans that I'm gaining from this new song, and I'm just excited to see where it goes.
What was it about this song that stood out for you that you were like, okay, this is the song that I want people to hear first from? Because I'm assuming there's obviously more songs that you've done,
yeah,
that we haven't heard, but why was it this track that you wanted to put out first?
I think this track for a couple of reasons. I think it was the most like strikingly like emotional from the start, right off the bat. And I think that is just a very big contrast from the stuff that I put out in the past. And I think that was the most, vulnerable one in the lyrics, and it's the most like emotionally exciting throughout the drop and throughout the music. So I think that, it was just a good record to put out to show that I have grown emotionally in the past couple of months, in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to put that out and have fans connect with me on it and realize that. And so that just felt like kind of organic to me. And I wrote a lot on this song, and I think that also says a lot. For the past couple of albums I haven't, or the past couple of releases I haven't.
So many albums,
you know, I'm on my 10th or whatever. No.
You've had the past couple of releases. Album, it's all right.
I haven't really on my past singles written a lot. So I think that this one, you know, I wrote the majority of, and that just represents a lot of like self growth for me. Yeah. And respecting my ideas and respecting who I am as a songwriter. And I've always been a songwriter, but I think I've just grown a lot of confidence in myself the past couple of months.
Are you more of a lyricist, or are you more of like sort of the whole shebang?
I love doing melodies first. I love, because I've been playing the piano since I was 3, and I've been just doing music my whole life. Uh-huh. So it's very natural to me, and it's just like melodies come to me so much easier. And then I feel like once we get the feel of the track, it doesn't make sense to go in and like force a lyric to a track, you know. It makes sense for us to find everything and then kind of be like, okay, what does this song make me feel, and how can I relate that to my life?
You worked on the song with Stargate. Stargate was one of the producers behind the track.
Yeah.
How did they get involved? Was that like Interscope connecting the dots and like putting you with them, or was it a more organic thing like, oh, I met them at a party somewhere?
It was not that, but I probably would. I probably would. Mikkel and Tor, get down. But I think that Interscope just, they kind of like threw me into a bunch of these like speed dating situations.
Oh yeah.
Which it was just like a bunch of different songwriters and producers every single day. And
totally not stressful at all.
Totally not stressful. Totally, totally fine. Didn't have to say the same, like didn't have to explain my story every single day over and over again. But no, it was fine. It was actually great, because I had worked with the same group of people up until that point. Right. So it was nice to like kind of branch out and see like who else is in the, you know, who else. There's so many talented people out there. Like, yeah. There's just so many, and I'm still meeting new people, and I'm still working with new people to this day. So Stargate was, they were just amazing from the start, and they really respected my ideas, which I appreciate. And you know, I don't always see that going in with new people. They just assume I'm just like this young girl who
you may not have any ideas.
Yeah, I don't have any ideas.
Stupid, which is totally
which is
lame.
Really dumb, and it's not how I would like to be treated. And so I've put more pressure on myself to just be like, just force myself in these situations and just like, you know, work even twice as hard as someone who maybe would be respected right off the bat, just to be like, hey, I am a writer, like I have these ideas, like I should be,
right.
You know, respected as someone who's, you know, anyone else who's in this session right now.
I mean, we've talked to people like younger people on this podcast, and they have those stories where, and I've brought this up before, so listeners are probably like, oh my god, is this story again? But there was a young singer-songwriter who came in and was talking about how they were put into a session with a producer, and the producer, you know, they were talking, and the young singer-songwriter said, oh, well, here's what I was thinking, you know, in terms of what they could do for the song. And
yeah.
The producer was just like, yeah, well, what about this instead? And
always happens.
The artist is just like, no, no, this is my life.
It's crazy how much that happens.
It's
like,
terrible.
It's really, like, they try to make it really subtle and just be like, oh, that's great.
That's great, but what
and
about if just, we try
what
this?
What about this?
And you're like, no.
They just, like, redirect it and try to, you know, they don't try to, like, outwardly disrespect you and be like, that's a terrible idea. But then they, like, at the same time, it's like, subtly, they're just, like, trying to move on to their idea instead. So I've had that happen so many times, and I just have to, like, I have to work twice as hard as I would for, you know, if I was, I don't know, if I was just, like, if I were going into it as, like, a highly respected, like, industry songwriter who's been in the business for, like, 10 years, I just, it's hard for me, but it's at the same time, it's my life. So I get to talk about what I want to, and I get to write what I want to write about. Like, it's not like it's there. It's not like right. this is calculated thing.
And
it's
that's
like,
clearly not what happened with the Stargate track, with the new.
No.
This was a collaboration, a real
Yeah, they are really respectful. And they actually just, like, at one point, because I spent, like, a week with them, and they were, like, towards the end of the week, they were just like, let's just put Day in the booth. Let's just, like, put her in the booth, see what she comes up with. And so I actually came up with all the melodies for New. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. But they've been super supportive of me from the start. I love them.
Also on the track, Leland, Brett McLaughlin, co-wrote the track with
yeah.
you. And he co-wrote Hideaway. So it's nice to have this sort of reunion of the two of you. And I think he's worked on other material with you, possibly.
Yeah.
Just because he's been on the show previously.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I'm working with Day again. Yeah. I can't talk about it at all. what was it? Why did you want to work with him again on the track and sort of get back together with him?
Yeah, I think he's so talented, and he's just such a good energy to have in the room, and it's so nice to have someone from my past who understands me, who knows me, and who I'm friends with, you know, instead of all these people that are strangers, and I'm just, like, meeting right. up for the first time,
nice
that
to meet
day.
You. Let me tell you all about my diary.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you everything about my life right now. So it's nice to have him to be there and just know these things about me already, and we just can dive right in.
The video came out as well, as we mentioned earlier. The video, it's very striking. It's very cinematic.
Yeah.
There's lots of interpretive dance happening, yeah. which is really cool, actually, because if you watch it, go watch the video if you're listening.
Yeah, go watch it.
You get the idea of what's happening as it sort of intercuts between sort of the past and the present.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, you're dancing in a phone booth.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this had to have been, like, the first time you've ever been in a phone booth.
Yeah.
I'm like, because you're like, what is this thing?
I'm like, what? No. I kept calling it a photo booth. This is, like, not a joke. I kept being like, should I go back in the photo booth now?
And they're like, yeah, do the photo booth.
Like, this is not some, like, this is not some Hollywood party right now. This is... Well, this is what people used to use to communicate, and I'm like, what is this?
A million years ago, we used to use these to communicate with one another.
Yeah.
We would put coins inside the machine. Actually, you don't see them very often. That's why when I
you
saw
don't.
Them, I'm like, oh my god, there's a phone booth.
I know. That's kind of cool. And I kind of wanted to use, like, old seeming things to kind of mix the past and present, or just to juxtapose those two things a little bit more, you know, like, definingly.
Right.
So yeah, I mean I love the video so much, and I think every part of it just made a lot of sense to me. I worked really closely with the director Tobias, and I wanted it to have those elements of, like, location triggers, like the couch and the phone booth, you know, to kind of just bring out this, like, mad person in
right.
me. And I really admire Francis and the Lights. I love his videos online. Like, I always watch them, and I think he's such a talented artist and director and choreographer, and I love that a lot of his movements are very, like, human-like. They're very, like, kind of jarring almost, mm-hmm. and I wanted to bring, like, elements of that into the choreography for my video, mm-hmm. and kind of have these, like, this couch, like, that I used to, you know, like, be with my ex-boyfriend on it, just have this, like, just bring out this, like, emotional, like, freak out in me, mm-hmm. in present day when I see it.
It works.
Yeah.
It works. I think, isn't this also, like, the first time you've had, like, a romantic, like, lead in a video? Like, I'm like,
yeah.
I rewatched all your other videos. I'm like, I don't think she's actually kissed a guy in her other videos. I'm like, this is, like, very adult-y. Was it awkward?
Very
or
mature.
Weird?
Very, no, I don't think so. I don't know. It just felt natural to me. It was, okay, it was
did
awkward for the first
before?
One. Yeah, I got to pick. I got to look through a couple of options.
Okay. There's a couple options I get to sift through.
I won't ever reveal the other guys. I
mean, they're all the runner-ups.
So they won't feel bad.
They would have been wonderful, but sorry, fellas.
No, I picked him, and then I think that, like, at first it was weird, because I was just like, is this... Like, it's so weird to have this, like, I've never acted, I've never done anything like that.
Right.
So it's kind of strange to have this, like, be representative of someone else, and then, like, me, you know, having to act like he's, like, my present day boyfriend. It's just a strange thing. I don't know. It's just, I can't put words around
acting.
It, but, but it's acting, I guess. But it felt very natural towards the end, actually. And yeah, we got along and it was great. And it felt good because I hadn't had a video that was really like that dove into my emotions like that. A lot of the other ones just kind of like floated around them and they were like parties, blah, blah, blah. But it was, right. This one was kind of like more personal. So I just love that about this video.
So much happening, so much new stuff. I could talk to you forever, but I can't because I have to actually, like, you know, release you back into the wild. But I'm assuming that more music hopefully is coming, you know, down the road. You know, we don't know when, but obviously is the anticipation like there could be a larger body of work at some point down the road?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have to give me any dates, times.
Yeah, I don't have any details yet. Anyways, we're I don't even know myself, so. But good. Yes,
just,
there's
just
something
keep
coming.
Saying that. You're like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Turns out tomorrow there's wink, a whole wink. Album that drops. I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, everyone check out Daya's new single. New single. Oh, boy, that just works out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
New single. It's a new Daya.
New Daya. New everything. Everything. Didn't plan it at all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you again to the lovely Daya for stopping by the office here in LA and sitting down with me to chat. Make sure to check out her new single and video for New. And yeah, check out all things Daya. You know, it was funny in the conversation, as you know, folks listening just heard, we said something that, you know, Jason kind of just sort of echoed before we got into the interview, where, you know, Daya's mom came up to him and said, you know, thank you for, you know, supporting us. And Jason was like, thank you for making the music. And, you know, I said in the interview, like, how, you know, when she was on her indie label Art Beats, she was able to, with a very small team, like, cut through all the static and be able to actually get a hit with Hideaway.
Yeah.
And that's just super unusual when you have like independent promotion and you're working radio and you're just trying to get it out there. And I told her, as you guys heard, like, it really speaks to you and the song and how it impacted people. And the cool thing was, like, she co-wrote that song. You know, it's like her words. It's, you know, it's so, you know, I think it's really cool that, you know, we're seeing the success of her and how she's, you know, she's grown up, she's getting bigger. Lots of things happening for
Daya.
Little
Daya's all grown up.
It's a new day for Daya, the puns that I used in the interview. So I know. Anyway. All right, so let's move on. Now it is time for the chart stat of the week. Hey, Jason, you know who I really like?
I'm shocked that you picked this for the chart stat. But
25 years ago this week, Madonna debuted on the Hot 100 with Erotica, the title track and lead single from her album of the same name. The single bowed on the October 17th, 1992, dated chart at number 13 and peaked at number 3 a week later. The song, along with its parent album, received a ton of backlash for its suggestive themes and adult content, all of which was complemented by the release of Madonna's adults-only coffee table photography book, Sex, and her racy and poorly reviewed film, Body of Evidence. Still, the Erotica album, which hit number 2 on the Billboard 200, generated 4 Hot 100 hits. The title track, Deeper and Deeper, which hit number 7, Bad Girl, which reached number 36, and Rain, which peaked at number 14. So, there you have it. 25 years ago, Madonna debuted on the Hot 100 with Erotica. You're just laughing over there.
Oh, where would you rank Erotica in, like, if you were to rank Madonna albums, where would you rank Erotica?
It's actually, it actually is a really good album. It's, I think at the time it was just, like, caught up in, like, just the sex book and, you know, oh, Madonna's pushing buttons and she's taking her clothes off. And, you know, it's just, it was so, like, no one could really listen to it for the music. I think if you listen to it now, it's, like, just a very, very good album. I think that works with a lot of artists sometimes, like, you know, in the moment, like, it's just everyone is distracted by all sorts of other stuff and people don't really get to listen to it for the music.
You know, what albums like that you describing it kind of reminds me of?
Is this a joke or is this real?
This is real, actually.
Okay.
I would say people kind of regard Britney's Blackout like that.
Oh, it totally is.
Like, there was such a, you know, commotion going on around Britney personally when that album came out. But now it's like regarded. I mean, it's an incredible album.
It's a very, I think it's a great album, and I think, you know, that's what happens when there's so much stuff to distract people from the music. Sometimes it's just really hard to appreciate the music for what it is. And then I think, you know, on the extreme case, you know, we sometimes get, you know, now we have like artists like Beyonce who just say, well, here's the album. I'm not going to distract you with anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do any interviews. I'm just going to give you a visual album and you get to listen to it and goodbye.
Yeah.
See you later. Well, anyway, any parting words, Jason?
We have reached the end of the show. Yeah. I don't know. I'm really happy the NBA is back. There's going to be basketball this week, so that's cool. Can we go out on
Sixers theme song? No, we can't. Or whatever. No. Basketball thing? No. This has to be something that we both agree on.
Okay.
Shaquille O'Neal, is that what you're going to suggest?
Oh, can we listen to That's How I Beat Shaq by Aaron Carter?
No, really?
I think the people are demanding that we go out on That's How I Beat Shaq by Aaron Carter.
Okay, see you guys next time.
Bye. I put it in the